How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish. Laugh out loud. Accept unconditionally. Navigate the negative and trust in your truth.
Welcome to Flaunt, Build Your Dreams and Live Your Sparkle. I'm Laura Cheadle, and on today's show, we have got an amazing woman who does work with healing the home. She does work that is centered around relationships and all of the various relationships that happen within the home. Whether that is parent-child, whether that's parent-parent, whether it's family of origin or family of creation, they all impact the way we show up in the world. And her work focuses on the various ways that we can heal that home relationship so that we can all be better humans. And one step further, she uses those relationships as how we can tune in and grow spiritually. And if that doesn't make any sense to you right now, that is okay. As she discusses her practice and her philosophy with you, it will make complete and total sense. And it will also get you really excited to start looking at your relationships with new light and new perspective. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're
what a great intro.
Oh, yay.
Nailed it.
Perfect. And what I didn't say is this is Dr. Lynetta Willis. And if you've got a website that you would like to direct people to, please throw that out as well.
Yes, it's Dr. It's D-R, L as in Ladybug, Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S.com. So drlwillis.com.
Perfect.
Yes, there's some freebies on there, so go check it out.
And they're good freebies, too. So how can you start by telling us a little bit about your background and what led you down this path of working with the home and relationships and spirituality?
Yes. So, you know, interestingly enough, my parenting journey started before I had kids. I was raised in a home. I was cared for. I was loved. And there was a lot of what I call the four horsemen mindset present in the home. And the four horsemen mindset I describe as pain, blame, shame, and avoidance. And there are a lot of us that can relate to having grown up in homes where those were used to control and deal with different situations. And I just had this experience when I got older and was thinking about having my own children where I started to realize like, oh, I need to do this differently. I need to break this cycle that's been going on in my family for generations. But I didn't quite know how. So I always joke, you know, when I did what all mental health professionals do, when we can't figure out how to do something, we just specialize in it. So I specialized in things like couples and family and trauma and all of this other stuff. And I learned a lot, but it wasn't until I had a very deep spiritual experience that really led me to look at myself in a new way. I realized a lot of my beliefs that I had carried over were impacting how I was showing up in the world and how I was showing up in my relationships, especially my family. And so it really came to an awareness for me that I need to focus on being aware of and healing that stuff so that I can really do what in my heart I felt I was called to do, which was break those cycles and show up in a way that empowered myself and those that I care most about at the same time. So once I did that and started doing some inner work, I started to realize that this is really how we transform the world. We have to transform the world through the families, through the homes, because that is where we play out all that stuff. It's great training ground, right, for all of that. Mm-hmm. I used to do a lot with parenting specifically. I created a parenting model to help parents deal with some of those pesky everyday experiences. But I even had this sense that even that wasn't enough. I needed to expand the lens to include the entire family. And that led me to viewing the relationships that we're in in a whole new way, a whole new light, which is what my current work is based on.
Right. Now, I want to backtrack just a tiny bit, because you talked about becoming aware of some of the patterns you wanted to change.
Mm-hmm.
How did that... I guess my question is, how does that look for people? How did that work for you? Because I feel like many of us, we just live our life. It's our life. Our life is fine. Yeah. I have kids. They're difficult this day. My spouse is difficult that day. Now we had a good day. How do you address that with people? I mean, do you have to have a crisis first? Or can you just become aware that there's a better way? And how does that work? How does that funnel people in?
Absolutely. So, great question. I think the first thing is just becoming aware. So for me, my point of transformation was realizing that I wanted to do this parenting thing differently, you know, and that was my catalyst. Everybody's catalyst is going to be different, right? But realizing that we can shift and we can change. And that's why I developed the spiritual path framework, PATH, P-A-T-H, mm-hmm. spiritual path relationship framework. And basically what it is I've looked at different spiritual practices that are across different cultures. And I said, one thing, the first thing I noticed was spiritual practices have been used for millennia, such a long time, for healing and transformation. And so I said, why can't we take some of these same core principles and apply them to relationships? Use our relationships in this, in very similar ways. So some of the things, so the way it's outlined, the first thing that we have to do is we have to look at our perspective. You know, how are we showing up in our families? How are we showing up in the world? What types of beliefs do we bring to the situations that we're in? And once we start to get a signal, a pulse on that, are we okay with that? Are we okay with the beliefs that we're bringing? Like some of the beliefs that I could carry that I became aware of were things like, I'm not important, I'm a burden, you know, things of that nature. So becoming aware of that, and then I could start to, or getting a perspective on that and realizing, oh, that's not how I want to show up. Because it was leading me to not value myself as much in my relationships. I was triggered a lot. Which brings me to the next step. And that this is a lot of times where people come in. So to answer your question, this is a lot where a lot of people come in. There's an awareness. So you might have fairly good days going in and out, but you start to become aware that your relationships aren't necessarily all that they can be. You and your partner may be fighting a lot, or, you know, you and your child may have some tension going on, and you're just not really sure what to do about that. Or it could be big things, mm-hmm. you know, big things that hit that you're like, oh, wow, I really need a transition needs to happen. Either I have to be different, I have to be better, or I could be different, I could be better. I want to show up in a better way. Maybe it's more present, more intentional, less reactive. You know, all of these things are often what bring people to that point of, I want to do this relationship differently. I want to do it differently with the people that matter most in my life.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's that awareness mm-hmm. that things could be different. And it could be different in any way.
Right.
And it's not just with your kids or just with your spouse. It's just different.
Right, right. I mean, I think we can view, I like to view all relationships, embrace all relationships in the mm-hmm. spiritual path as a spiritual practice, you know, something where you can just take any relationship in your life and decide, I want to grow through this relationship. I want to evolve through this relationship. How do I do that? You can look at the perspective that you bring to it, the beliefs and how they play out. You can become aware of the triggers mm-hmm. that you experience. One example that I can give with that is in terms of having that external awareness. So when we, so my husband and I have been married for, well, like 14 years or something like that. And when we were early in our marriage, I would notice that he would really like beat around the bush with me on certain things. And it would really agitate me. I'm like, why don't you just say what it is? You're really
right.
kind of annoying me with this. Or I would experience it as the story I would, the perspective I would bring is he's being passive aggressive. Well, when I tell myself that, that leads me to show up in a way that doesn't help the situation because
Absolutely.
I get very angry and very frustrated. So what I started doing was becoming aware of how I was feeling internally. Like, this doesn't feel good. You know, I would get frustrated. I would get tense. Then I start looking at the external dynamic that's between us. Like, wow, he gets passive aggressive. is there any way that I'm contributing to that? And what I started noticing was that, yeah, there were some times he would ask me certain things and I would get a little snippy sometimes. Like I'd be annoyed or frustrated, you know, and I started to realize like, oh, so how I show up impacts how he shows up and how he responds.
Right.
And not taking responsibility for his actions, what he does is what he does, but I can control me. So how do I want to show up differently in this relationship? You know, how do I take responsibility for myself in
yes.
this moment and show up differently and grow through this experience?
And I love that because that kind of leads to my next question. I can think of maybe objections or fears that are kind of coming up in people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would love to do this. I would love to grow, but my partner, he's a jerk, or she's not into that at all. Or my family's not spiritual, so it sounds great, but it's not for me because nobody else will cooperate.
Yeah.
But it sounds like what you're saying is nobody else needs to cooperate.
Nope. Nope, it's all about you. And that's where the personal transformation comes in, right? So it's really about you learning to show up in the way that you want to show up. You can only control yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you show up in the way that's in alignment with who you know you can be, everybody else will take care of themselves. And sometimes we hit these realizations that, you know, with some relationships, like maybe I need to shift how I engage this person, you know, because maybe I just can't be in relationship in this way anymore. So maybe we need to change. Maybe I need to change how I relate to this person. Or sometimes what else happens is when we shift, other people around us shift. So with the example with my husband that I gave, when I started becoming aware of how I was engaging him and I actually talked to him about, we had a discussion about it. He acknowledged like, yeah, it can be a little biting sometimes, you know, just a little bit.
Right.
So I started making the conscious decision to show up differently and then he shifted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that the other person has to shift. It's great if they can show up and be conscious and you all do it together, but it's certainly not a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need everybody around me to change in order for me to decide that something in me needs to change, something in me needs to grow.
I love that. I love that because like that, you can make that decision to be less biting,
yeah.
to be a little less snarky, and he can respond or he cannot respond, but you have gained control over your awareness,
mm-hmm.
your reactivity, and in other relationships, you will probably be more well-received.
Exactly. Exactly. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what begs the next, like, in what other ways do I show up like this?
Ooh. Yes.
You know, and the people might respond differently. So I might not see it as somebody being passive aggressive. Might be somebody just walking away and being like, I'm not dealing with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just being aware that I have that tendency
mm-hmm.
can help me to transform within myself. And also, if you really want to get deeper with it, you could even start asking questions like, why do I do that? What is it that leads me to show up in that really biting way? And I know for
yes.
me, it does go back to childhood and just sort of like, that's how we communicated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sometimes it did sting a little. I guess I can understand that, you know, but just having that awareness can really help us to grow in so many different ways.
Right. And what you said, just like that, childhood, family of origin, we all have different families of origin and we take two completely different people with two completely different family languages and we put them together.
Yeah.
And what means something for your family means something different for your spouse's family. And
exactly.
That gets complicated.
It does get complicated. And that's where a lot of my work with people begins. You know, sort of unpacking. We don't need to deep dive into your past for 10 years or anything
right.
like that. But it's just about that awareness and getting that awareness on what is going on within me when that happens. Gosh, it happens a lot. Or it happens maybe across relationships. Like a lot of people seem to respond to me this way. I don't really know why.
Right.
You know, so really getting into that. That's why I love focusing on the home because it's like this microcosm of the rest of our world,
mm-hmm.
you know, and our stuff is more likely to come out with the people that we're most comfortable with. So it's more likely to come out with our family members or our closest, like you said, family of creation, those closest to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I work with a lot of people around, okay, there's this relationship, something's not going right. Help me. I don't see it. What are my blind spots? What are the areas where I'm tripping up and I just can't quite get it together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't feel good. It's affecting other areas of my life. I need to work with this. I need to deal with it. I need to heal. I need to get awareness around it so that I can grow
right.
and move in a different way.
Okay, so then that's the next thing, awareness. There are so many things so many of us are aware of, and in theory we understand so completely.
Yeah.
And then life happens and we completely lose it. You know, just even on a very simple level, I'm going to lose weight and I'm not going to eat sweets. Oh, free donuts in the break room. I'm going to have a donut. How does that work with something like this? Because it's hard to change our patterns.
It is. And that's where the last two letters of the PATH model come in. You know, it's a perfect question. So there's the perspective and there's an awareness. You know, and I'll back up just for a second and say, I often love to call this an inner revolution. And how I define revolution, it's complete change in the way we think and complete change in methods and ways of thinking and methods ways of thinking and methods of working.
Okay.
So our thoughts and our actions. So I can change the way that I think, but if I don't change my actions, nothing's going
to happen. Who cares?
I can change my actions, but if I don't change the way that I think, it's empty, you know, and it doesn't stay the same. So both of these are required. So the first two focus on our ways of thinking. And the last two focus on what you're talking about, which is our methods of working. So the T and the H, they're very similar, but they serve different purposes. So the T is generating tools to center. So tools that we can gain, and this is what I do with the clients I work with, we come up with specific tools that you can use in those moments when you're off center. So a lot of times we find ourselves triggered, whether it be by, I mean, I have two kids. Trust me, I know kids are great triggers. You know, and how do I regain this my center? Or with my husband, how do I regain my center? The H stands for holding your center, which is, that helps you maintain your center. So regain your center, maintain your center. The more we focus on maintaining our center, the less we have to focus on regaining our center. And this is where the spiritual practice piece really comes in. And why we say spiritual practice, you don't necessarily have to be spiritual. You know, these are just ways that spiritual practices have often cultivated and worked throughout the years. But it's really about learning how to, like, what works for me in the moment. For one person, it could be something as much as taking a deep breath or walking away from the situation or having an affirmation or something that they use to help them come back to center. In terms of things that you can use to maintain your center, one thing I often do with a lot of my clients is we create a guided meditation together. It's a personalized guided meditation that you can use, a little 8 to 10 minute thing, nothing super long.
Right.
That really, we incorporate your strengths. We incorporate different things that you find empowering, your vision
that.
Of who you want to be. Right. And so we put all these together in a meditation that you can listen to regularly. And the thing about that that's so beautiful is it literally rewires your brain, right, to start going up against a lot of those beliefs and those habits that you may have formed a long time ago. So as your brain rewires, then your actions start to shift. You become more conscious of times when you're being triggered. And then those things together lead you to show up differently in the world in a way that makes you more confident and makes you feel more aligned with how you really want to be for yourself and your family.
I love that, because one of my own personal practices is working with the I am statement.
Yeah.
And when you know I am patience, I am love, I am whatever your strength is, I love that, because you're right. It is centering you in who you are.
Exactly.
And it's very easy, at least it was very easy for me, to get lost in, I am frantic, I am frazzled, I am
tired.
Late, I am tired, I am pulling out my hair.
Oh, well,
And then when I would start focusing on the negative, of course, then more negativity starts coming.
Yeah. Exactly, which is why a lot of times people can be like, oh, I don't have time for centering and maintaining and all that kind of stuff. Well, think of how much time it takes you to repair a relationship that you really care about. You know, like, I guarantee you that'll take more time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is about personal transformation, personal development. And as you do more of that work, you will start to see differences in how people show up in your life. Like Maya Angelou said, you teach people how to treat you. Well,
yes.
The best first step to doing that is to start treating yourself differently and showing up differently.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you don't audibly tell. Well, you could say, I don't appreciate this. You need to do this differently. But the best way you can do it is to start showing up in a way that's in alignment with how you want to be treated.
Yes.
And once you do that, you will start to notice a shift in how people show up or don't show up. Mm-hmm. In your day-to-day life. And that includes those that you cared most about.
Mm-hmm. I love that you just said show up or don't show up.
Mm.
Because that is an important component mm-hmm. that I think sometimes gets overlooked. When we do shift, sometimes people drop yeah. out. And that's okay. Not yeah. even okay. Sometimes that's good.
Yep. Sometimes it's great. It may not yes. feel great. But sometimes it's very great.
Mm-hmm.
And we notice that we're able to expand mm-hmm. in a much more powerful way, you know? And it doesn't even have to be a forever drop-off.
No, you absolutely.
Know? Sometimes it could just be a for right now.
Yes.
You know?
Or, yes.
hey, you know what? In this particular area, I don't think we need to, you know, do X, Y. Like, maybe we don't need to go out and have drinks every Saturday night because it seems like on Sunday we're completely overwhelmed or I don't know, that might be
right.
a silly example, but basically it could just be a shift in how you engage or in the ways in which you engage a person
mm-hmm.
to become mindful. Like, I don't think that's helping our relationship. Let's stop that. You
right.
know? Or
right.
like you said, sometimes it's let's just stop all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Especially with family of origin. I think sometimes there are habits and patterns and roles. I am
yeah.
the overfunctioner. I am the underfunctioner.
Yeah.
I am the whoever. And in order to break out of that,
mm-hmm.
sometimes the other people have to fall away until they realize who you are.
It's so true.
Yeah, I am no longer the overfunctioner. I am no longer enabling. And it's not that you're saying no to the relationship forever. It's
mm-hmm.
just that while I find my center
yep.
and while I practice staying here, you might not want to be around me,
exactly.
and that's okay.
Yes. There's one client in particular I worked with where she had her family's pet, or her daughter. It was her daughter's pet, actually. And her whole issue was, like, this pet is just really overwhelming and I'm not sure, you know, and she was just kind of going through that a lot. Well, we did some work and we realized that she takes on a lot of things for a lot of people in her family, even though it leaves her to feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started going into, well, how do you want to change that? And it was like, the obvious answer was, well, stop taking things on. But then that brings a whole host of fears.
Absolutely.
And anxieties. So the more we work together and like, well, okay, what's their greatest fear? And, you know, we started working through a lot of that. And at the end of our work together, she actually approached her daughter and said, you need to take this because it's not working well for me.
Right.
You know, like, I can't do this. I'm not being kind to myself by continuing to say yes in these ways.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay. She's like, it's okay for me to say no sometimes. And that was such a huge breakthrough for her
yes.
because she doesn't say no.
Right.
She says yes to everything. But it was that awareness and that perspective shift and that awareness
mm-hmm.
and incorporating those tools into her daily life that she was able to get to the point where she could say, this is no longer how I want to show up. This is how I'm going to show up for myself
mm-hmm.
and those important to me. And they're, yeah.
Yeah. And I love what you said, that it brings up a whole host of other things, because so often we hear, just say no.
Yeah.
Just, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. But you're right. It can be a worthiness thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will love me unless I serve
yep.
them, or I have to prove that I'm capable of this, or whatever it is.
Yep.
And it's so much harder than just saying, no, I don't want to take your cat right now.
Exactly. Exactly. And that goes back to the difference between the ways of thinking and the methods of working. So in that
yes.
case, I could have just been like, just say no, just say no. So she would have changed her method of working, but her ways of thinking would have still been the same. That
mm-hmm.
that same belief of, I have to serve everyone, I'm less important. All of
yes.
that would have, and there would have been a huge disconnect, a huge internal backlash.
Yes.
You know?
And then she would have felt awful about it.
Yes.
Because if you're not understanding that, you're going to be like, well, I said no, but I feel awful
yes.
and I'm so sorry. How can I make it up to you?
Right.
Instead, I'll buy you cat food and,
yeah.
and then you've just shifted the addiction, so to speak.
Yeah.
You've shifted the behavior, and it's still the energy behind the behavior. It's just a new behavior.
Exactly. And the other thing too, not everybody's going to be happy with what you decide.
Oh, I love that you said that.
Like, not everybody's going to, and being able, that's another thing with the tools to regain center. It's also about preparing for the fact that some people may not like your decision and may push back. You know, whenever you try to change a system, the initial reaction of the system is try to revert back to the original. It doesn't like being changed. Why are you changing stuff? It's great how it is.
Right.
You know, but I don't know about that because this one piston over here is overworking.
Exactly.
It's about to burn out, you know, so we need to change. Well, no, it's working for me. So, you know, so preparing for the fact that not everybody may like what you have decided.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do about that? Or what are you going to do in that situation when?
Mm-hmm.
Let's prepare for that a little bit.
Yes, because then you've had the opportunity to think it through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of times we find that it's not as bad as we think.
Yes.
It's not as bad as, like, we think they're going to flip out and flip over cars and burn down houses and, you know, but sometimes they're like, all right.
Okay.
You're like, what?
Yeah, I'll get a cat sitter. No big deal.
I know.
Right. No, that's so true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you find when you start working with one member of the family that other people want to have that personal growth for themselves as well?
Yeah.
Eventually, at least.
Yes. Eventually. I have had situations where, especially if I'm, like, working with the wife, for instance, you know, the husband will pop in.
Yes.
Usually what I get, though, is, I'm so glad she's working with you. She really needed this. You know? It's like, you need to come in here next time, buddy.
I don't need anything. But...
I know, I'm perfectly fine, but, you know. So, yes, because, again, once you change one part of the system, the whole system eventually will start to shift.
Yes.
You know, so being able to bring in different, and sometimes it's not always about, because my thing is, I want to empower you to empower your family. I'm not going to be the sole change agent in your family. Like, it's just not who I am.
Just move in with us.
I know, exactly. Sure.
Come on.
So if there are areas where my clients are like, yeah, you know, I'd really like my husband or my kid to shift in this way. Okay, well, how can you be the agent, you know, the impetus for that shift that you want to see, you know, and then we can start going there. But again, it comes back to you because
yes.
You can't control what your kid or your, I mean, you can try to control what your kid does, but a lot of times that doesn't work either.
No, it doesn't.
People find,
yes.
You know, so it's like, okay, how do you want to show up in a way that will make that shift more likely,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then we can talk about that process, you know, and how do we move into key spaces of also acceptance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if things don't always work out the way that you want them to, how do we accept that? Not for the purpose of resigning, like, oh, well, whatever, but when we accept a situation as it is, then we're more likely to become creative because we're no longer fighting against it. So
yes.
We're more likely to create avenues in our own minds about different ways to move and different ways to shift that feel good to us and allow us to remain in alignment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, earlier you talked about the four horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
Blame, shame,
pain, and avoidance.
And avoidance.
Yes.
I love those because those are the default mechanisms really in the world for any relationship.
So true.
Yeah, whether it's employee, boss, mm-hmm. parent-child, even husband-wife.
Yes. Yes.
Or friends.
Yes.
Well, I did this for you. I took you to lunch on your birthday. Why don't...
I know. We do that, you know, and the... When you, especially shame is really big.
Yes.
And we're talking about it a lot. Brene Brown talks about it. You know, we talk
yes.
about it a lot nowadays, but it really is a big thing. Like, we shame ourselves. We shame everybody. We shame other people.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
You know, the pain there's this belief that if you cause someone pain, especially like a child, let's say, if you inflict pain on them, it will somehow lead them to want them to do what you want them to do. And it's like, wait, what? Like,
that makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Now, it may work in the moment, but again, you're changing their methods of working. You're not changing their ways of thinking. So ultimately, they can revert right back. You know, so it's one of those things where I truly believe that we need to not hate the horsemen because
mm-hmm.
they serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. They're protective. But I do think it's time for them to retire because there are other ways, you know, I think we're evolving into a new realm of consciousness where
yes.
we can deal and learn to deal with situations in ways that are more kind, because how if you use pain, blame, shame, and avoidance with other people, you probably use them with yourself too.
Oh my gosh, you know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we don't want to treat ourselves that way.
No. And you write that whole blame piece. It's my kid's problem. It's not mine. Mm-hmm. It's my boss's problem. It's not mine.
Yes.
It's my husband's problem. It's not mine.
Yeah. And how I often see it is, he made me. She made me. Really?
Yes.
You make me so angry. Well, more than likely what happened was they triggered something in you and you became angry.
Uh-huh.
Right? Which again, there is, and sometimes my clients kind of scoff like, oh, you know, but, and I'm like, no, you don't understand how much power that mind, that simple, going back to the P, perspective shift gives you. Because
yes.
if I can make you mad, sad, angry, then I'm the puppeteer and you're the puppet. I can do whatever I want. All I have to do is say this word or do this
and
thing.
Bam.
And bam, you're right where I need you to be. Who wants to live life like that?
Right.
But if it's, no, that triggered something in me. Let me figure out what that is and what I want to do about it. Well, then we got a ball game. Because then I can keep coming and poking and poking and poking. Wait, why aren't you dancing, monkey? Like you did
right.
last time.
Right.
You know, so again, that goes back to healing the home. Once when people that we care about and they're great at that bring up things in us, we don't realize it all the time, but they're actually gifting us with an awareness of what we need to heal, what we need to shift, you know, in our own lives so that we can move through life in a more intentional, meaningful, and authentic way.
Mm-hmm. I love that, especially with regards to kids, because how often do you hear parents say about their kids, you're making me crazy, you're making me this. And you're right, a toddler does something and it triggers something in the parent, and the toddler is controlling the puppet strings.
Yeah.
They truly are.
Exactly.
And the parents are letting them.
Right. And a lot of times it has to go back with the fact that we're exhausted. Or
yes.
we're maybe hungry. Or we're, you know, and it's like they can do something on Monday and it's cute and funny. And then they do it on Wednesday and we're ready to, like, blow a gasket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, okay, it's the same thing. So clearly the only difference really is not
is
the kid,
me.
It's you.
It's me.
Right? So again, that's information. And when we're going to get through it. Right? I mean, I'm still triggered by my kids. The only difference now is my default is to go in, you know, and figure out what. So it's not about getting rid of your triggers. I mean, no, we're all going to be triggered.
True.
You know, but it's how we respond to those triggers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Triggers are just those emotional, sensational reactions that we have in that moment. But they give us information. When we overreact, we lash out at people, that's when it starts, or even shut down. Some people think, everybody thinks triggers is like us beginning angry, but sometimes we shut down, we give in, you know?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's when we react in ways that are out of alignment with how we want to show up for ourselves and our family, that's when there's a problem. That's when we know, oh, something needs to shift in this moment. And how do I do that?
I love that. And some of the tools that you use, you had mentioned that personalized meditation.
Yes.
Which helps.
Yes.
What are some of the other tools that you use?
You know, I really like to personalize it to each person, because my thing is I can hand you a list of 50 things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And if it's really not part, if it's not part of your lifestyle and who you are, it's not really,
yes.
you're not going to keep doing it. You're just going to be like, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
One of the things I have on my website is 12 powerful tools to dealing with your triggers. And people can go on and download that. And they are, they're divided up in terms of like how to avoid being triggered,
mm-hmm.
how you deal with that. And then also how do you, what do you do when you're triggered? And then
yes.
also how do you repair things after you say
that's
overreact
wonderful.
Or get frustrated?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the things that I focus on is breathing. Like, it's so amazing. Like, there was, I'm forgetting her name right now, but there's this researcher that found that emotions only take us 90 seconds.
Yes.
To
fully
go through a cycle. And the thing that keeps those, the thing that keeps our emotions, because people are like, I'm still mad from 30 years, you know, what are you, what keeps it going are the stories. So it's not that we're riding the same emotional wave. No. It's different emotional waves, but we're just telling ourselves the same story over and over again. So we're recycling. So if another thing is, if we can get clear on what's triggering me and what stories am I telling myself,
mm-hmm.
right? And what are some things I can do in the moment to deal with that? You know, anything that can help us do that is going to be key. I use, so in my parenting model, it's called the Elemental Living Model, and I actually use the elements, earth, air, fire, and water, to help people deal with those, with difficult moments. It was created for parenting, but it can be used, I have clients that use it with their partners, their siblings, and all kinds of stuff, you know, but it basically rides on the premise that the reason why you can read all these parenting books and marriage books and all, they get all this information, and then find yourself in these high stress moments, and you don't remember any of it. You're just
Absolutely.
It frustrates the crap out of it. Frustrates me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's based on this idea that the reason why that happens is because when we get in those high stress moments, we go in a fight, flight, freeze mode.
Mm-hmm.
And the first part of our brain that shuts down is the prefrontal cortex, which holds all that information that you just read out of that book.
Exactly.
So you don't have access to any of it in the moment.
No.
Right? But we do have access to, imagery and information that's deeply embedded in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I paired the four elements, earth, air, fire, water. If you live on the planet, you know how the elements work. So I pair those with different ways that we can respond. So the example I often give is, if you have a child that's tantruming, you can often associate that with fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that kid's on fire. You might even say that. So normally what we do, or a lot of times what we do as parents, is we bring in more
fire.
More fire to deal with it.
I will be louder than you.
Yes.
Quit crying.
And then we have a bigger fire.
Right.
It's like a five-alarm forest fire now.
Right.
Or you can think intuitively, if I have a fire, maybe I need to bring
water,
which often water across many cultures is symbolized with compassion and calmness and relief. And, you know, so
cool. Yes.
So really it's about the question I often ask my clients in any relationship is, and this is why I say it's specialized, what is bringing water to a situation or to yourself look like for you? And that's going to look different for different people.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And in different situations, if I'm bringing water to my child, it might look different than if I'm bringing water to an employee.
Exactly. It was funny. Just the other day, I literally brought my son water. Like, I literally brought him a cup of water because he was just really flustered and overwhelmed and upset. And, you know, but being able to do that, when we think about that, even the visuals, and there's different things for different of the emotions. If you get them, I'm putting together a book right now, a small book that people can use to get a deeper understanding of what some of the interventions are for each of the elements. So get on my email list and I'll send you that as soon as it's
perfect.
Ready.
Okay, now wait, how do people sign up for your email list?
Yes. So go to the website, drlwillis.com, and then just sign up for, you can either sign up for a freebie or the newsletter, whichever one, I'll still let you know when it's available.
Perfect.
You know, so there's different things that people can do, but, you know, like some of the examples are, some people might literally get, like, go up to the child and be compassionate and hug and, you know, but I had one mom who looked at me once and was like, in those moments, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to hug my kid. I don't want to mention anything with my kid because my kid's just,
mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. So in that sense, my next question, what do you need to do to bring you water?
Love that.
Because that's what's going on. Like, we have to bring our, and in the parenting realm, we're getting into this dicey area of it's all about the kid and it's all about focusing on the kid and making sure the kids. And I'm like, okay, you know what? The kid needs a caregiver that's centered and authentic and present. And if you're just doing everything for little Johnny and nothing for yourself, it's not going to help.
Mm-mm.
So, what can you do to bring yourself water? What feels real to you? And she said, well, when I come home, I need some time by myself. You know, so she literally, now it's a thing. Like, her daughter knows, like, she's going to go away.
Yes.
You know, when they get home, you're going to drop things down. And she goes away for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter, like, plays on her, you know, her Kindle Fire or whatever.
Right.
And she knows that, oh, that's mommy's time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's very, very simple things that we can do to let ourselves know, like, oh, this is what I need to do. And even that example and some other things are in that trigger book that I have on my website. But it's really about finding out what works for you in those super high stress moments.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some tools that you can use to help you either regain your center or maintain your center?
Mm-hmm.
In those high stress moments.
Mm-hmm. I like also the regain because I'm not sure about you, but I have those moments where I know I'm about to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I struggle with myself. Do I walk away right now or do I keep engaging?
Yeah.
And I know if I keep engaging, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's hard.
It is. You want to get in that last.
Right. You're just like, I'm so close. I can do it. I can do it.
Exactly. And sometimes not good. You know what you can do is say that. We can speak for those parts of us that are feeling. You could say, you know, I'm a little torn right now because part of me really wants to stay here and continue doing this.
Yes.
But another part of me is aware if I do, it's probably not going to go in a good place. So I think the best thing is maybe we can set a timer for 10 minutes and walk away and come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you speak for those parts of you that are like, let me at them, rah! You know,
yes.
But at the same time realizing there's always an opportunity to come back. We don't have to do it right now.
Yes.
You know, like I had a situation where there was an associate of mine who we were sort of going back and forth on in this online forum that we're in together. And I had said something and then she came back with something else. And I let Patrick read it. And I said, is it, cause my thing was if it's something that's trying to bring connection to the situation, I don't want to ignore it. But if it's something that's going to trigger me, maybe I don't need to read it. He read it and he was like, don't read it. So for me in that moment, the best thing for me to do was just not to read it.
Yes.
Right? Not to do things that they don't do things you know are going to trigger you. Like if you know reading that Facebook response,
right.
He's going to send you over the room. Don't read
the
Facebook
do
response, you know?
Yes.
Come on. Like
yes.
If you know... When I do X with my child, Y will happen, and I'll blow my... Don't do X with your child, you know? I mean,
yes.
And that's what in the trigger book, it talks a lot about things you can do to not get triggered, and it's stuff like that. Like, you know, a lot of times, this probably isn't going to go well. When A,
yes.
plus B plus C comes together, it doesn't go well. So maybe
yes.
stop at C, right before C, or ideally before A. Like,
right. Isn't that the truth? We get something stuck in our head.
Mm-hmm.
A good parent enrolls her child in football, and you hate football, and your kids hate football, and you don't, but it's stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And that's maybe not the best example, but.
No, but it's true. Like, you know.
We just get, yeah.
I mean, it is in the sense that, you know, you engage in things that you know just don't feed you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up getting triggered. Like I was asked to engage in a program and I could just tell like, it's not something that's going to feed my soul right now. It's not nurturing for me.
Mm-hmm.
It might be helpful for other people, but if I don't show up as my best self, nobody really gets served. Not by me.
No.
You know? So it was something where it was like, I was expected to say yes, given the work that I do and everything, but I had to say, no, thank you. Not right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was one of those things where it's like, this is the best thing for me and for you, trust me.
Yes. Yes.
It's not a good place for me to enter into that type of agreement at this point.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That reminds me when my kids were little, and I can't even remember where I heard this or read this or whatever, but they said there is such this idea in society that if a child is crying, we have to fix it.
Mm.
And we have to fix it now.
Yeah.
And obviously, if they're strangling and cutting the window cord, yes,
yeah.
You need to help them.
You need to intervene.
Right. But if your child is crying and they're in their crib or they're in a safe spot, sometimes they just have to cry.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, sometimes we just have to go do whatever it is to let it out. And
right.
It's not that we are less of a parent because we can't get them to quit crying. Sometimes they're just overstimulated and they just need to cry.
Exactly. Like crying is not bad. And that was something I had to learn because in my home, there was that stop crying before I give you something to cry about mentality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to really unlearn a lot of stuff in that first P perspective phase of,
yes.
You know, unlearning a lot of things that I had been taught, especially around emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the rules, and this is another thing that you can do to stop being triggered, like figure out your non-negotiables early. Before you find yourself in the situation.
Perfect.
You know, so for me, it was crying is okay. Crying is always okay. I don't appreciate screaming, kicking, biting, any of that stuff. But you can release your emotion. That's the way your body releases emotion. It's sort of like, you know, dogs that shiver, you know,
yes.
and you know, to get out energy, or animals that shiver after they've been chased by lions to try and, you know,
recalibrate.
Yeah, recalibrate themselves. It's that same thing. That's what children do. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. So for me, I had to set up a non-negotiable of, okay, screeching, hitting, biting, kicking, not okay, but crying is okay. So there are times where my daughter and my son would start crying, and I'd be like, stop. Crying's okay. Crying's okay.
Yes.
It's okay to cry. Yes. You know, but I had to set that in advance, and that was something that was helpful for me. And that's something mm-hmm. you can really do in any relationship, you know, like figure out what are my non-negotiables? What are my limits? What are my boundaries
yes.
around this? Like I always tell my, when my daughter was, she doesn't do it as much now, but when she was younger, she would get, she'd go into a tantrum and be like, you know, and she might kick out or something. And I would say to her, I love you too much to let you hurt you. And I love you. I love me too much to let you hurt me.
That's beautiful.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Was, yeah. And I would just say that, you know, and it was one of those things where it was like, I'm teaching her not only, okay, you're entering my non-negotiable range right now, but I'm also teaching her it's okay to respect your body.
Yes.
You know, like it's okay for me to respect, I will respect your body and I respect my body.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you need to respect your body. It's not okay for somebody to kick, hit and scratch you. It's
right.
not okay.
And that's moving out of those four horsemen.
Yeah.
Don't you dare.
Yeah.
If you do this, I will do this to you. If you did it, I'll hit you harder.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's just not a good, or I shouldn't say good, I'm trying to stay away from good, bad. It's not a helpful or skillful way to be with other people.
Yes.
You know?
Because I don't know about you, but if somebody tells me you can't do that, there is a part of my brain that says, watch me.
I know, exactly.
So if somebody says, don't you kick me, there is that part of me that says, why not?
Exactly.
Watch me, I will.
What happens? It's like that cord that's like, don't pull this, and you're like,
I just have to do it. Yeah, but if you say, I love you too much to have you kick, and I love me too much, then you say, okay.
Kicked. Yeah.
Okay, how do you argue with that?
You can't. Because in that moment, I'm saying my power. You know, I'm not making you not do something or do something. I'm just saying, I'm going to do what I need to do to protect myself.
Yes.
And I'm going to do what I need to do to protect you from bodily harm. You know, and mm-hmm. that's what I'm, so I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm not forcing you to do anything because that's not helpful.
So true.
But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do.
Right.
And that type of mindset works in any relationship. When
yes.
you get to the point of you better not or da, 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 that's when you get into that danger red zone. But when you're like, okay, if you make this choice, this is the choice I'm going to make.
Uh-huh. Fine.
And then if they make that choice, you follow through. So make sure it's something you want to follow, you're willing to follow through with.
Right. But it doesn't even have to be that huge all the time. Just in the example of your daughter kicking, you can get out of the danger zone.
Right.
You know, you're not saying, and you will never have a toy the rest of your life.
No Christmas, birthday, right. or Easter, forever.
Right. There's no presents ever. You're just simply stating, you're not hurting you and I'm not hurting me, and I will disengage, however that looks.
Right. In that moment, and depending on the moment, it could look like different things. There are times I've just
totally.
Sat on the floor and watched her.
Yep.
You know, and like,
yes.
this is what this looks like for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so whatever I need to do, but I, you know, our relationship is never on the line. That is never,
yes.
ever, ever on the line, ever. You
mm-hmm.
know, I will always come back. I will always be here, you know, for you. Now, we, again, I have non-negotiables. So there are ways that we're going to engage one another that are going to be okay with me. But you are my child. I love you, you know, and I will always love you. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't necessarily mean that in every situation, every single time, I'm going to tolerate everything you do to me.
No.
Mm-mm. Not at 5, not at 15, not at 50.
No.
Because I don't allow anyone to do anything they want to me. I've lived in that world. It ain't fun.
Right.
Well, it's not fun and it's not good.
No.
And it led me down some really dark paths that I don't want to teach my child or my children to be
to
able
go
to
down.
Go down. So all this too, when we treat relationships as a spiritual practice and we increase that awareness and we increase our ability to do this relationship thing differently, we're also modeling for our children the ways in which they can do these things.
Yes.
Right? And I'm so aware of that even when I'm engaging with my husband. You know,
yes.
it's not that we don't get angry at each other. We get angry at each other and we'll do it in front of the kids in an appropriate way.
Right.
But we allow them to see, like Autumn said the other day, it's my daughter, Mommy, you and Daddy, you got mad. Then you took a deep breath And then you talk nice.
I love that.
I was like, well, thanks for the mirror.
I did it. I'm good.
I know. All right.
Right.
I saw that.
Right.
But that's what she saw. And it was interesting because I don't remember what I did. But she was like, then you took a deep breath. And for me, it was like she was repeating it to me. But what she was really doing was creating a memory within her mind. She was increasing those neural pathways, those neural grooves for herself. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that we do it perfectly all the time. Of course we don't.
But that's a beautiful lesson, too, that I completely lost it. I did everything wrong. It was embarrassing. And wow. I own that.
Exactly.
I am sorry I yelled at you.
Mm-hmm.
I am sorry I allowed myself to get too hungry, too tired, too worked up, and I'm sorry I lost it.
Yes.
I will try to do better next time.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. How much awareness is in that?
Yes.
You know?
Huge.
And how much healing does that provide in other relationships?
Right.
I'm sorry for my part in this.
Right. Instead of you really ticked me off.
Yeah, well, you should have no.
Right.
You know?
You should have known I was hungry.
Well, yeah,
you
should have
known I was tired.
But you.
But if you hadn't have said that.
At that point, everything is shut down. It's like there's no more conversation going on. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to back up at that point. Like, back up the U-Haul and, like, carry your stuff somewhere else for a period of time. And then try to come back and move in later. Like, it's not going to happen right now. House not ready.
No. I love that.
It's not prepared.
Yeah. Well, I love your message. I love your work. I think it is so invaluable because, like you said, our closest relationships are the most difficult because they teach us the most.
They do.
Yeah, because typically we don't engage that deeply with our barista.
I know. And then we find ourselves in these situations, right, where we're treating the barista better than we're treating those that keep the...
Oh my gosh, yes.
Listen to us. And that's not what we want, right?
No.
And so the more that we engage in these things, and that's why I feel really called to work with people on healing the home, because the more that we do that work, yes, it's going to extend to the barista and everyone else, but you know that core foundation place is in a good place. It's healing or it's healed, you know, and that is where a lot of things, like I said, I think that's how we heal the world, one family at a time.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Now I have the hardest question for last.
Uh-oh.
No, it's probably more theoretical, but it is one that comes up with people a lot. We do treat the barista better than we treat our families quite often.
Yeah.
Do you think we all need that place to take our girdle off, so to speak, and to completely relax? And where is that tension between completely relaxing and being ourselves and constantly having that mask of, I am good, I am kind, I am patient, I am honest?
Yeah.
Where does that tension lie? How does that
work? So the first thing is, the one of the assumptions I carry is that when we're angry, shaming, you know, mean, snarky, that is not who we truly are. So we're not really being ourselves when we're in that space. And there is a part of us that knows that absolutely, right?
Yes.
But what ends up happening is those parts of us overwhelm the system. They overwhelm us and then they kind of come out. It's kind of like that three-headed dog we all have inside of us. It just comes out raging and fighting and, you know, all of that other kind of stuff. But I do believe that we can speak for those parts of us that are angry and snarky and shameful without speaking from them.
Yay.
You know? So I can say, I'm feeling really angry right now. I don't have to come and beat you over the head with a broom or something, you know? Like, I don't have to do that. But I can honor that feeling. Because we do have to honor our feelings.
Yes.
All of them.
Because we do have to cry. We do have to.
Right. And anger is normal. It's a normal thing. It just is. Like, you know, in the environment I grew up in, really young, there was always that Bible verse about Jesus flipping tables in the temple and all that stuff. And, you know, he was angry. And then there's another scripture says, you know, be angry yet sin not, you know, and it's that sense of anger. It's not anger. Anger is not bad. Anger is not the enemy. Anger, like any emotion, is just an indicator. Mm-hmm. Now, when you start beating people up, that's when we get, that's when it's like, okay, now we've crossed a line.
Yes.
Right?
And you're right, the natural state is a state of joy or peace or serenity. People aren't chronically angry.
No, no. And it goes back to that stuff. And that's where the healing comes in. It's that stuff often that we haven't healed, that we're not aware of, that leads us to feel perpetually angry or perpetually overwhelmed or perpetually whatever, because we have these beliefs about how we need to be or how we need to, that are funneling into, you know, how we're showing up. And there's parts of us that are like, I don't want to show up this way. No, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. But we do. And then,
bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one last time, I'd like you to give your website and the other contact information, because I know there's listeners out there who are kind of thinking, oh, perhaps I could do this.
Right, right.
Or even perhaps, hey, maybe my spouse could do this, but then really it is about me. So
exactly. I know.
Whichever way gets you in.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You can get in and then figure it out and then go from there. You know?
Exactly.
So my website again is www.drlwillis.com. And again, the doctor is just drlwillis.com. And that's the best way to connect with me, contact
Perfect.
Information. And then also I have a current offer where we could work, if you want to, we can work one-on-one together on a relationship issue that you may be having with someone significant in your life and help you get some of that perspective and awareness around that and a plan to get it on the right track.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I love the whole relationship piece.
Thank you.
Yes.
This is great.
Yes.
This is fun.
Yeah, the interplay of spirituality and that it's a practice. It's not just a set rule.
Right.
And we practice. So thank you so much for your work. And listeners, I hope you all really got something out of that, whether it's a perspective shift or the awareness or whatever it is. I would love for you to reach out to Lynetta. And in case you didn't have a pen and paper with you as you were driving to work or whatever you may be doing, you probably know how to get a hold of me as well, and I can put you in touch. Laura@pyramidfusion.com, www.pyramidfusion.com. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you have a fantastic week. And as usual, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.